This story starts with a dress. Not any old dress. Not a checkered school dress.
Harry Potter was a highly unusual boy in many ways.
For one thing,
Sophie had waited all her life to be kidnapped. But tonight, all the other children...
Little Prince went to look at the roses again. You're not at all like my rose. You're nothing at all yet.
I'm in trouble again. It's big trouble. The kind that requires an urgent...
There's always a moment before a storm when the wind seems to change its mind. It plays at Domestic.
Pip knew where they lived. Everyone in Little Kilton knew where they lived. Their home was like the town's own haunted house. People's footsteps quickened as they walked by, and their words strangled and died in their throats.
Libraries, places of quiet knowledge, the calm in the eye of a technological storm. Public libraries have been around for more than 100 years, whilst the oldest library dates back to almost 1,000 years ago. But how do libraries hold up in a fast-paced, impatient world of immediate knowledge at the touch of a button? How do they compete against 99p books and next-day delivery from the all-consuming Amazon? And how have they, evolved over time? I'm Rhianne Evans. Thank you very much for joining me in this episode of Island Life, where I look at the relevance of libraries in a digital age. I plan to head west to speak to Gemma Quilliam-Kenyuk, the librarian at Peel's Ward Library, which you'll hear shortly. But on the way there, I happened upon a coachload of visitors mingling with locals on Peel Promenade, and I thought it would be amiss of me not to ask them, do you still use a library?
No.
No? Is there any particular reason why? Because I know a lot of people can access books and information online, obviously, a lot quicker now.
That's true, yeah. I would say that's probably what I do predominantly now.
My wife uses a library, yeah, regular. She actually has like a book club, so she uses it on a regular basis, yes. I'm driving all the time, so I got a Kindle. I know that's terrible. I know it's terrible, but
with the times.
Yeah, but I'm driving a bus, so having a book is not feasible. Yeah, but my wife is in a book club, and she uses it a lot. My house is full of books. My house is full of books, and she likes to see books and physically hold a book.
I don't know.
No, is there any particular reason for it?
Not really, I suppose. No, it just doesn't interest me.
Occasionally, yeah. If we want to do some research or...
The book club sometimes, the WI book club will order something from there.
We prefer a book than... we do use Google, but it's nice to have a book in front of you.
The biggest trouble with the libraries is you don't get the new releases when you want to read them. I use Amazon for that.
If you have an exact book you want to read, you just go to bookshop and buy them.
No, I don't. You just got on your phones now, I think. Everything's just there for you, isn't it? And it's easy access, so.
Not so much as I used to, I must confess, but I used to use it very regular. We have a new library where we live, so it's quite popular.
Take the grandchildren there and they love it. They can browse the books and see what they want to buy.
Pretty much the same. I do buy a lot of books, right enough, but the library's very handy.
What they're doing now in Scottsdale is that people are bringing in some of the books that they've had from years ago, and they're leaving them there. So the other people are coming in and they borrow them.
They kind of prompt a very generous spirit out of people, like you say, leaving, you read a good book and it's not like, this is so good, I want to keep it, that people are like, this is so good, I want other people to read it.
Yes, and they want the people of the community to say, hey, we have a library here.
Not wanting to keep Gemma waiting any longer, I made my way through the cobbled streets of Peel to the Ward Library.
Morning.
Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Hi.
Thanks for coming down.
Thanks
today.
For doing this.
No, it's my pleasure. I've just got the kettle on. Did you want a cup of tea?
Oh my gosh, I would love a cup of tea. Oh, thank you.
I'll show you around quickly while the kettle boils.
Yeah, awesome.
We're quite a small local library.
I'm Gemma Quilliam-Kenyuk and I'm the librarian at Peel's Ward Library. Yep, it's absolutely true that we live in a world now where we can access pretty much anything we want instantaneously. A big factor for libraries staying relevant is the cost. I think it's very much a place of privilege to assume that everybody can afford to have tablets in their pockets, everybody has got fast broadband internet at home. That is simply not the case. We live in a world where, you know, we're increasingly seeing the use of food banks, we're seeing people struggling to pay their bills. So to be able to offer a facility for free where people can come in, they can read the latest bestsellers, they can read the local papers, they've got access to unlimited information for free. is just incredible, really. It's absolutely, it's probably more relevant now than it was, I don't know, decades ago. People can come into their local library without any expectation of having to make a financial transaction. Libraries do not turn anybody away. The door is open. You are treated with respect and dignity. And I think this notion that people want things instantly, the one thing that I find that I see and hear all the time is if people are waiting for a book, for example, the latest Michelle Obama book has been such a big success here for us. It's one of the few books we've bought multiple copies of to try to keep up with demand. And people are low down on the waiting list. I'll quite often say, you know, it's going to be a few weeks yet before it gets to you. And nobody reacts negatively to that. People are just really happy to be able to wait and to be given the books for free. There's no charge. And you just see the best of people.
I've always thought to myself, if libraries closed down and you took away all the books, it feels like a sin. And I've always kind of thought, why does it feel so dramatic and why does it feel like a sin? But when you were speaking then, the way you were describing the library, how the doors are always open to anyone, like you can have all the money in the world or no money at all. And they're basically like a church, really, aren't they? But
absolutely. Everybody is made to feel welcome. This is everybody's library. As a community, you know, there is a place for you here, whether that is just to come in and read the local papers. We see a lot of people, we help a lot of people in here that are looking for jobs. So again, they may not have the resources at home, or they just might not have the skills to be able to know where to start looking. And it's just very much a case of you come in the door, and if we can't help you straight away, we would certainly say, you know, give us a couple of days to help for us to find the information. We can connect you with the information that you're looking for.
Playing devil's advocate, what can you get from a library that you can't get online?
It's very much the personal touch. We live in a world where digital isolation, I think, is a big factor in this mental health crisis that we're seeing. Again, that's something that's just endemic. People live more and more insular lives because we can get everything we need without having to step out of the door. But the one thing that we absolutely pride ourselves on here is the sense of community. You know, it's not just about books. We have all sorts of events in here. We do teddy bears picnics, we do craft sessions, we do drop-in tech sessions for older people that don't know how to use tablets. We have, we're very lucky here in Peel that we can offer help and assistance with students if they want to have extra English assistance. We've got a teacher on hand that will come in and help the children work through what they'll be expected to, what's expected of them in their exams.
And do you get a lot of students using that service? Because I think libraries are associated from an outsider's perspective of maybe older people using them and also young children using them. So do you get, do you see teenage usage here?
Not as much as we'd like. We definitely do have, we've got a core of sort of our regular teenagers. So many of them we've sort of collected through the work experience program, which again, we're very fortunate to be able to offer. We have a lot of students that come in, they'll do their work placement here, and they really get to understand what's available at the library because they see it from the inside. We do have a lot of students that come in, sometimes just to connect to the internet, sometimes just a bit of a warm, safe space to come and, you know, be away from their parents. We'd like to promote the service to help with homework a lot more. So, yeah, we would do anything we can to encourage more students. But it's probably true to say that our core demographic are the younger age group, so preschoolers, parents with young children, and retired people. We're here for absolutely everybody. There is something for every age range at the local library.
How do you think the reputation of libraries has changed over time? Because I remember being quite young and thinking of them as sometimes a bit of a scary place for a young kid, that you go in and you're not allowed to speak, and if you get heard whispering, you get, you know, booted out, or, you know, an aggressive shush thrown in your direction. But what's the reputation of libraries now?
They've changed so much. They are inclusive, welcoming, safe spaces. I still have members that come in here now and tell me about librarians from the past that wouldn't allow people to choose their own books. They would choose their books for them. I am going back decades and decades here. But yeah, that that belongs to a different era now. The academic libraries are still places where you probably will be asked to keep the noise down, but they're community hubs. It's a noisy environment. We have, obviously, if we've got people working out the back in the reading room, we try to contain the noise levels a little bit, but it's the kind of space where, you know, if children come in that have got special needs or we've got a few autistic members, this is a place where they can come in and they are made so welcome. It's their space. It's absolutely about making everybody that comes through the door feel welcome and I think breaking down the intimidating sort of idea that libraries are just for certain types of people, that really does belong to the past.
Speaking of different eras, what do you think libraries are going to be like in the future? And let's talk a fair few years down. Let's say like flying cars has happened and Back to the Future has become a reality. How do you think libraries are going to change? Or do you think, because for a very long time they've remained unchanged, they've just remained, you know, a building with books in. Do you think that's going to continue?
Yeah, I think at their heart, I think the business model has worked for so many thousands of years, relatively untouched. It's, you know, it's a cornerstone of society. It's a place where you can come in and garner information and knowledge. And at their heart, that's what libraries will always be. I think the way that we offer that knowledge might change. Obviously, you know, I think the use of digital technology is absolutely will be a part of libraries of the future. But I mean, even just if you think now, 20 years ago, you would never imagine walking into a library to see people on wireless devices with wireless headphones connecting, finding information. But I think at their core, I don't think there are vast changes. There's a trend in London now to rebrand libraries as information stores, or idea stores rather. And it's the same concept basically. You walk into a building and you just have unlimited access to knowledge and to information. But yeah, I think the days of sort of seeing no books in libraries are hopefully very, very far away.
With the question of whether or not libraries can really evolve in a technological world without losing their traditional soul playing on my mind, I made my way to Douglas and the Family Library. There, Laura Jones and Sarah Johnson told me some of the ways they're keeping up to date, one of which is by extending the community spirit of a library further than their four walls.
Laura Jones, Managing Director of the Family Library.
Sarah Johnson, Schools Librarian.
Bibliotherapy is a concept we've been running now for 3 years. It's gone down very well. We go into residential and rest homes and we deliver this. It's, in essence, triggering memories through the use of books and props. So we have themes every week and we differ the themes. We've just recently had a huge collection of bibliotherapy box sets done for us by the WI, which was really gratefully received. And they themed them all. So we had like a holiday theme, sports theme, lots of retro themes as well. For older people, this will trigger memories and get them to talk. Perhaps they might be reticent. They might have just gone into the residential home. They don't know anyone. It gets people. It's quite a magical thing, actually. It always reminds you of the film Awakenings. I know it's a different theme, but something happens. People will come around the table and it's, you know, they might be really reticent, think, who's this person talking to me about this? And then suddenly they might say, oh, that's a dolly peg. Yeah. My mum used to use those. And then suddenly this wonderful, it's a bit magical, isn't it?
Yes, what occurs. Yes, yeah.
And it can actually be delivered to lots of different users in the community. It's not just for people with memory loss or dementia. It can be used for people with special needs and people with mental health problems. It's something that just creates people just engaging and talking and reminiscing. It really is. It's a lovely thing.
How do libraries compete? Because I know brick and mortar bookshops like Waterstones are struggling against like the ever-growing god that is Amazon. How do libraries compete against people buying books at the click of a button for like 99 pence?
When I go into school assemblies, I always say, and it's the best form of being green because you're recycling, somebody's using the book, you're not filling your house up with useless paper that you won't use again. So environmentally, you're best going to the library to borrow your books.
Absolutely. But it is that, you know, we are battling, you know, against the tinternet, as it were, but you know, we offer so much more than just lending.
And I think as we were saying, in with technology being everywhere, mental health being a key thing, especially with it being linked to the amount of screen time and anxiety, depression, being insecure, people just chasing likes and, you know, on Instagram and what, the library, I guess, acts as that sort of quiet. I get the same feeling going to my nan's house. It's just quiet in there. It's pure, it's innocent, and it's just an incredibly calming effect.
Yes, it's an oasis, really. And there's nothing nicer than to see a young child sprawled on the floor, engrossed in a book, really in that world. And that's precious. And we will still be necessary with books in 40 years' time. Children will still need to read. They'll still need to learn to read, still have a love of reading. Still need to learn how to classify, how to research. So all those skills will still be important in whatever holds in the future. We've been very lucky recently that we've been donated 100 Polish books as well, because we have language books, so we're covering different communities, and that's really lovely to see, because they can come in and meet friends as well and access the resources.
And that's important now, I would say, in terms of all the controversy going on surrounding Brexit and some people becoming less tolerant of other cultures. I guess that's a brilliant way to get over that barrier.
Yes, you're right. And also what's nice is, because we've got the games, the children might play with other children that they wouldn't normally meet even at school. It crosses the barriers. It's very open.
I heard a great phrase, and I am going to borrow it, but I heard a phrase, super connectors. And I'd never I have heard it, but I really think it applies to our staff, because we do connect people up. We do connect people up in the community, and I think, you know, long that may that last. I think that word pure, you know, it's so readily available, that phone, isn't it? Pick it up, you know, bore yourself into kind of some kind of stupor. There's nothing stimulating about it. And I've got an 11-year-old daughter, and I of course, all 11-year-olds would be glued to it. But I really try to limit it, because there's other things in the world. And I do think it genuinely is affecting people's mental health. Yeah. I genuinely do. Ultimately, it's not something, I'm 48, it wasn't something I grew up with.
No.
It's a necessary thing nowadays in lots of respects, but it doesn't mean we have to all become addicts to it.
Yeah.
And I think what we offer here is coming full circle back to the purity of a literary, creative, imaginative space.
Sister of the Family Library is the Mobile Library, a bus that delivers books and audiobooks of all sorts to people around the island. I met up with Sally Hardman, who runs the Mobile Library, on one of her trips to Cannon Court in Kirkmichael. There I got to see the Mobile Library in action, meet some of its regular customers, and see just how much the service means to them.
Sally Hardman, and I'm the Manager Librarian of the Mobile Library, which is part of the Family Library.
Such a joy, this.
It is.
It's really lovely. Am I allowed two more?
If you like, can you have whatever you like.
Where can I go and find them?
Right, do you not want that one?
Not really.
All right. That's because you said you liked that other William Boyd one.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Oh, well, I'll have it back again then.
So the Mobile Library, basically what it is a library on wheels. So we have a big 6.5-ton truck full of about 2,000 odd books and audio books and children's books. And we take it all over the island, 6 routes every 2 weeks, go north, south, east, west. And so that's the main part of our business, is delivering books to places where people might be isolated through either lack of mobility, or because of where they live, because it's quite isolated, or because they actually just can't get out, or they might not drive. And then we go on to other services. So we have a home library service, and this is a service which we've developed over the last sort of 15 years. It's gone from maybe 30 visits a month to about 140 a month, where we visit people in their own homes. So we take a selection of books to them on a personal one-to-one visit. We'll go and stay for 10, 15 minutes, have a chat, see how people are. Sometimes we're the only non-health related person who might visit in that 2 or 4 week period. And we send the same person each time, hopefully, so that customers or borrowers are used to the same person coming each time, so they have to be able to trust us when we go to their home, that we'll know them well and we'll know who they are.
It sounds like you help a lot of people. So speaking on the non-health side of things, how do you affect people's lives?
I would hope that we're delivering a service that's essential to some people. Not everybody likes to read books, but overwhelmingly the people that we visit prefer to have a real book in their hands. And what we do is we buy the books that suit the people who come to use our service. So we won't buy books on spec, we'll buy books that we know people will enjoy reading. So on some of the stops that we go to, such as this one at Cannon Court, there are some people who actually can't walk out to our van. So what we do instead is we collect a set of books and audio books, and we'll deliver them to them and swap them over every time we come. And that can be every 2 weeks.
The fact that you pick books that you think people will like based on their other preferences, it really shows that, like, how much you care and how important it is to, you know, make it a personal service.
It is really important. The worst thing you can do is give somebody a bag of books and it's absolutely the wrong genre. So if you can give somebody a bag of westerns or crime and what they really want is romance or non-fiction, you have really messed up 2 weeks or 4 weeks of reading. So you have to make sure you get it right. And we like to think that actually what we're a bit like is an Amazon algorithm, but we're a human algorithm instead. So we're on legs. So each one of us gets to know our borrowers really well. And then we know what books they like. So we can say, oh, you like this? You'd like this book too. Because then we can introduce books they might not otherwise have read.
That's it. That's awesome. I love that comparison, actually. Just moving a little bit away from the mobile library and your idea on libraries in general. In terms of moving with the technological age, what do you think the difference is? There's a lot of talk going around about anxiety due to social media and people sitting on their phones and it being very isolating. What do you think the difference is between a bunch of friends sitting together on their phones and a bunch of people sitting together reading books?
Oh, well, I'd say probably there's so many book groups and book clubs around that people have really spoken about what they prefer. And it's fine to, you can go on to Goodreads or various other online book groups and book organisations and talk about books, which is great, absolutely great. But sometimes what you can't replace is the human face-to-face contact and the physical book. And I actually don't mind how people read their books, but I do know that physical books are here to stay. I have a Kindle, I use it when I travel, and I use it, I've got one in the van now for if I get stuck without a book, because sometimes I just look at them all and think, no, I'm just going to read what I'm enjoying at the moment. But yeah, both formats are great, but I do think physical books with physical people, real people, face-to-face in a library, you can't beat it.
I guess you're right as well, because it hadn't occurred to me, the book club, but when a lot of the time when you see people sitting around on their phones, there's no conversation starters. No. It's usually just mindless scrolling, whilst with books, it prompts conversation.
It is interesting, though, because go around an airport and lots of people will be on their phones, but lots of them might be reading books at the same time. But the thing is, you don't know that. But if somebody's got a book in their hands, you can say, oh, I've read that. Have you enjoyed it? And then your conversation starts from there. Yeah. And what we've learnt is you only need one thing to start a conversation, but you won't get it if somebody sat on their phone.
It's a lot less creepy as well to go up to someone and say, oh, I've read that book, rather than be like, what are you looking at on your phone?
I know. I was in an airport recently and there was a lady with her daughters and they were trying to choose books to buy. And she said, oh, I don't know what to read. And I just said to her, oh, do you mind me saying, what did you read last? Because there'll be something else here that'll be similar to that if you enjoyed it. And I found her something which I'd read and she happily bought it and off she went. Brilliant. And I wouldn't have done that if she'd been scrolling through Amazon.
Do you think down the line, with everything moving with the times and technology taking over, do you think in the future libraries are just going to come down to those generous souls who do just put a couple of books in an old phone box? Do you think 50 years down the line libraries are going to run out of steam?
I'd like to think not, as libraries have been around for
thousands. The first one was like 848,
long time. So we all know about the burning of the library at Alexandria back in the ancient Egyptian times. They have been here forever, since man has learned how to make marks that would become something significant. We've grown into this amazing culture where we just have the written word, the spoken word and the listened to word available for everybody. And I just can't see it disappearing.
We've seen internet cafes in the past and also post offices. And the library is obviously another community service, but internet cafes and post offices are being shut down. Do you think libraries are going to head in the same direction? Or, I mean, I know we hope that they long may continue, but what makes them different to those other community services that haven't been as successful?
Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Because I think postal services have obviously been impacted by the internet, by email, by phones, by texting, by people's different methods of communicating. I think libraries change with the times, for sure. And libraries are still going to be places full of books, but they're also going to offer other services. So, for example, we offer postal services on the mobile library, and they're quite basic. We sell stamps, we'll take letters for post, and if we need things picking up and taking, we'll do that. And we'll collect things for other libraries also, if that's what they require. I just guess everything is going to change. But change isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes you have to evolve.
Do you think you can evolve while still keeping the true heart of what a library is?
I'd like to hope so. In the mobile library, for example, we've got 37,000 books, and that's about 10,000 more than when I joined, which is about 15, 17 years ago. We're constantly growing what we have and increasing the offer that we have for people and changing the services that we have as well. So as I said to you, we do 140 home visits every month. Those 140 people once upon a time would have been people who came onto the mobile library, but now they can't. So now we visit them at home. They're still getting the service. They're still getting what they want.
Do you need to see someone? Sorry.
Hello.
Well, Hello. This is brings a whole new meaning to mini library.
It does, doesn't it?
Doesn't
yes.
it just?
Yes.
But what devoted service, I thought I could say.
Thank you. Tell the lady from radio.
Well, I have to say, without this service is more than a library service. It is a community service. It educates us, it keeps us old buddies alive and more or less intelligent. And I'd be lost without them. But not only that, they make it a personal service, which is pretty remarkable these days. And so they ought to be appreciated greatly. I'm sure they are. But let's hope funding is available for a long time. I, for myself, would be quite happy to pay more for my services because I think it's worth every minute. I better shut up, otherwise I'll go on too long.
Oh no, you absolutely go for it.
Well, as I've said before and voiced my opinion before, this is more than just a library service. It is, it's beyond that actually, it becomes a very personal. They keep us old people going in the community actually, and I'm sure for the isolated parts of the island, they must be an absolute connection with life, what's going on. It's more than a library, it's a social service, it's a welfare service, it's a medical service. It's all these things and an educational one, because none of us is too old to learn and keep our interests going. Otherwise, we just rot like cabbages in the field.
Noticing a trend in the age of people who are passionate about libraries, I wondered how they can target younger generations, seeing as those are going to be the people in years to come who will decide the fate of libraries. To do that, I went to Ballycommeen High School to speak to some of the students there. First, though, I had a chat with school librarian Ros Alcock.
What else was there? I think that was it. The only other thing I thought we could do today, if you fancy it, is I've got a Roald Dahl Day quiz.
So, the Roald Day Dahl... The Roald Dahl Day quiz. Okay, some of these questions are really, 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 really easy. And some of them are a little bit harder, so let's see. Okay, first question. Question number one. What is the name of the head teacher in Matilda?
Oh, I know it.
I know.
My name is Ros Alcock. I'm the school librarian at Ballycommeen High School.
So we'll start with, what are numbers like for high school students coming to use the library purely, not to go on a computer, but to read or take out a book?
They're probably higher than you'd think, actually. We have, in terms of borrowing books for fiction, we have very good loan statistics. Last year, we loaned probably around about 5,000 books over the course of the year, which is about average, probably a little bit more than usual. But the fiction library is packed every day, and I would say probably at least 60% of the students who come in borrow a book.
Number four, Which book tells the story of a fantastic animal?
Oh, Lauren, help, Beth.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Ashley!
Hi, Ashley.
Ashley, join our team.
Yeah, you gotta join those guys.
Join this team.
Beat right Sad.
Down. Join the quiz.
Dang, Ashley, we know.
Roald Dahl Day quiz.
Okay.
No.
Right, we'll never know. Question number 5. Oh, this is too easy, this one. What does the BFG stand for?
Oh, I know this one. Yeah.
What sort of things do you do to not only keep children enthusiastic about libraries in school, but also the teachers as well?
I work closely with the English department, but also with tutors around school. I try to make sure that there are books available, not just in the library. So books that we have that we're not using anymore, that maybe are not so popular anymore, or books that I've acquired from other libraries and things like that, I will make into book boxes and hand out to tutors so that they can take them to their classroom and always have a book corner in every classroom. My ambition is that every single classroom will have a book corner. We're getting there slowly. So I also run occasional sessions for teachers on reading in school to talk to them about the sorts of books that students are reading and the sorts of ways that they might be able to encourage their students to read more, things that they can do in their tutor groups or even within their lessons. All the different events that we do around school, we try and get as many staff involved as possible. So things like we do National Poetry Day, we do Harry Potter Week, we do the Shelfie, which is where teachers come and talk to the students about their favourite books. We do things for Roald Dahl Day. So anything like that, we'll try and get as many teachers involved as well as students. So,
what do you think is going to be the future for libraries? Do you think libraries will still have a place in society 20, 30, 40 years down the line when, as you say, you see a dip in students coming to take up books because it doesn't mean that they're not reading, but with Kindles and technology taking over, where do you think the place for brick and mortar libraries will lie in the future?
I think there will always be a place for libraries, not just in terms of reading fiction, but also in terms of access to information. Yes, we have the internet, but the internet is a huge, huge place. And you need guidance as to how to find your way through it. Particularly, I think, students in school, sitting them down in front of a computer and saying, go on Google and find the answer to this question, is like taking them into an enormous library and saying, this is all the information in the world, now go and find what you need. So I think there will always be a place for libraries and librarians. I think, generally, I think that people don't realise how important a library is until it's disappeared, until it's gone. And you see this in the UK all the time, where communities, as soon as a library is threatened with closure, suddenly realise what they're actually going to be missing, what they're actually going to lose. So I think there will always be a case for libraries, even more so in school. I think it's a complete no-brainer. You must have a library in a school because it's where you have the access to to information and to reading and to ways of discovering things about the world.
I just see if you remember.
Okay, question number 6. This is a bit more difficult, I think.
Oh. Who? Oh my God, I just realised. Sorry.
Who drew the pictures? Who illustrated Roald Dahl's books?
Famous. Hello. You here for book club?
How have you seen the role and the popularity of the library change over your time as a librarian?
Since I've been at Ballacomeen, the library's always been an important part of the school, but I think it has increased in popularity, and I think the range of things that we do in the library has increased. When I first arrived, it was really just a room full of books, but now it's so much more than that. We do so many different sorts of activities and events, and encouraging the students to take part in using the library. We have tutor group visits. Every student in school should come into the fiction library at least once a term on a rotated visit. So everybody is coming in and out of the library all the time. I think the library has become, over the years, a more important and a more vibrant part of the school.
It's nice because it's like just a quiet area where you can read books for free just by yourself or with friends and stuff, and you can choose, there's so many different books you can choose from. It's just a lot of fun because it's quiet and people won't disturb you.
It's just really nice to be able to go into like a whole nother world while sitting on a chair. Like, you get to go to all these places without moving an inch.
I love the library because a lot of the time it's, at break times, it's more of like a social place where it's like really busy and it's just a really nice atmosphere to be in.
I like the library because like you get to experience a whole array of books, but like you can pick up a book and if you look at it and you can go, oh, I don't like it, then put it back, you don't have to buy it. And then you can say, oh, what's this one like? You read it, it's like, oh, that's really good, I might buy it. So it's like, but it's all free as well, so you don't have to pay to get good literature.
So I like the library because, like everyone else has said, you get loads of amazing books for free, but then there's no like pressure to read it because you haven't brought it. So, and then you get to like hang out with your friends and stuff. And me and my friend are actually like having one book and both reading it at the same time because there was two of the books, and that's really fun. And then we can like come in the library and just talk about what we think of the books and stuff.
Excellent answers. Does anyone use a library outside of school?
I go to the Henry HBN Library.
Mm-hmm. Do you go there during school holidays?
Yeah.
And do you see many other students or children your age, young people your age there?
Yeah, I see quite a lot normally when I go.
Okay, because the thing I'm trying to explore is that because kids have iPhones and there's so much technology about now and you can kind of read online and any information you want, you can just Google it straight away. Do you think a lot of your friends would just rather pick up a phone rather than pick up a book?
I'd say most of the people that I know would just get their phone now and start reading from there.
Well, yes, I do use library out of school. I use the Porterham one because that's about where I live and I actually use it quite often. There are some people there, but there aren't like loads of people my age there, I wouldn't say.
So I know a couple of you have kind of touched on this, but besides the wonderful books that you read, what else do you get from a library that you don't find you get anywhere else?
This is just a really, really nice place to be.
You can make more friends as well because like you can relate to like some stories because they might like the same series of books that you like, so you can like relate and you have something to talk to.
Another good thing you can get from libraries is like a nice atmosphere. For example, the book club here, everyone's here because they want to be here, because they like reading, not like in classes because they're there because they're told get in there or you'll get in trouble. And it's like there's no one who doesn't want to be there, so they're messing around or just chatting all the time. It's like you're there and you can relate with them because they're all here for the exact same reason you're here, and it's really nice.
You get like a nice quiet area where you can just like chill out and zone out and just spend time by yourself doing what you want.
It's quite a safe space really, isn't it? I always feel very relaxed as soon as I come into libraries, especially this library.
I'd say this school library is probably my favourite place in the school because a lot of people can go and sit and talk in the canteen and stuff, but it just doesn't have the same like warmth to it that the library does.
Do you think the libraries are going to be around in the future?
I don't know. I hope they are, and I think they should be, because, I think reading on a phone is quite, like, boring. I don't like reading on a phone or a Kindle much. I like actually having the book in my hand. So I think they should be around in the future, and if they are, I'm definitely going to make my children get all their books from the library.
I think that, yes, there probably will be libraries in the future, but they'll probably evolve with the future. It's like, I don't know, instead of there being books, maybe you download it onto your phone.
In the future, I sincerely hope there are as many libraries as there are now, because it's such a great community. And like, as you said before, you're not as isolated, you're not as alone, because like, when I go on holiday, I take my Kindle with me, because it's a lot easier, but there's something about just having to put in a bookmark, and I will always prefer books, and I sincerely hope there are libraries in the future, but technology is a lot easier. Like in French, I need to look up a word, I can use my phone, or I can flick through a massive dictionary. The phone is a lot easier and quicker. So I think there will be libraries, possibly not as many, but I sincerely hope that they're still there.
I think as long as there are people that enjoy reading books, then there will be libraries. I don't think there'll be as many as there are now, because of course technology will evolve. But I do think there'll be a couple for the people who do love books, because I think the people who love books will keep them alive.
Okay. Question 5. BFG stands for?
Big Friendly Giant.
Yes, of course it does. Question yeah. six. Who illustrated Roald Dahl's books?
Quentin Blake.
Quentin Blake. Well done.
Yes, you're quite right.
So,
hello.
Will libraries continue to be relevant in a fast-paced, ever-growing world of technology? Only time will tell. For me personally, Catlin Moran said it best in her article, Libraries, Cathedrals of Our Souls, when she wrote, a library in the middle of a community is a cross between an emergency exit, a life raft, and a festival. They are cathedrals of the mind, hospitals of the soul, theme parks of the imagination. On a cold, rainy island, they are the only sheltered public spaces where you are not a consumer, but a citizen instead.